are we doing a very special episode to answer your questions. Are we going to vamp about some of our favorite things, like how we got into comics, why we love this character, and more? And is this the Days of Future Past special episode of Marvel Movie News? Yes.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now... here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie
News. Ooh.
Hey. Days of Future Past lighting.
This is what the future looks like.
That's your last name.
Yep.
Welcome, Excelsior, to you, our merry Marvelites. We are the Marvel Movie News, and this is episode 194 coming to you from the past. That's right. This is the Days of Future Past episode of Marvel Movie News. It is currently a different time where I am than where you are. And I, while also here, am currently in Ireland. And while I am here, Markia is in Burning Man.
Yeah, I'm in Burning Man. Goodness knows what I'm doing right now, but I think I'm probably wearing a tiara and some wings.
You're having a good time.
Ooh, yeah.
Also,
I'm probably dancing.
It's the 28th, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy the day after my birthday.
Happy belated from the past future.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And anyone, I'm sure my past self has put up an Amazon wish list. So if you want to send me something, please do. Hopefully that will be on my Twitter, because I will have no cell reception in the desert.
From the past future.
Yes.
We're terminatoring this birthday. It is going to be very exciting. Soon, T-1000s will be just running around. So, we are the Marvel Movie News. You can subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News, or find us at youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. You can find us through Popcorn Talk's website, popcorntalknetwork.com. You can follow us on Twitter at MarvelNewsPTN or at The Popcorn Talk. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/MarvelNewsShow. Follow us, like us, and if you retweet a link to this show in the future, yes, Aunt Manthony will tell you what to do on Twitter.
I'll work things out. I got this, guys. I'm Aunt Manthony, y'all. I can do this.
He is Kang this week. Oh, yeah. Yes! Okay, you're Kang, controller of time this week.
I kind of like this because it's like a time capsule.
It is.
It's bearing a time capsule for the future you to watch.
With just Marvelite madness.
Yes.
So thank you, Kang, for handling things in the future, past. So this week what we're going to do is we're basically going to go through Twitter questions. We've only got a few because we didn't gather them through the time we're not here, because we weren't here. So these are from the last few smatterings of weeks, ones that we wanted to catch that we missed, and especially the ones from the 14th. And we also are going to just talk about some of the reasons we got into comics. I'm going to get to know these two lovelies better and bounce around Marvel ideas. And basically, we're doing a special episode this week for you guys, because we didn't want dead space on the internet. We are here in spirit and in time.
Hey, Koi.
Oh, hey, Kang.
Kang wants you to introduce yourself.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey.
I am Koi Jandro. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Koyjandreau. And in any time, past, present, or future, I'm always joined by the ever-lovely Markia McCarty.
Yes, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty, MarkiaMccarty.
And our associate producer, the ever-lovely Amy Oomps.
That's me.
That's forever now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
She loves it. There's such happiness in her eyes. They go, Oomps.
It's so... I think it's really clever. But yes, Amy Cassandra MTZ. That's what you can find. That's my handle. So that's why it's MTZ. So
there
that's
you go.
Me. I very much enjoy it.
Kang is pleased.
So we're going to kick it off.
I like Kang's voice.
I like the sturdiness of Kang.
Kang needs for you to introduce yourself.
When you control time, you don't need enunciation. You just got to have a rhythm.
Yeah.
So do you want to start with shout-outs first, and then we'll do questions, and we'll play around?
Yeah, these are some shout-outs from awesome people, Marvelites, that you probably interacted with in the chat room and have seen online. So we have Charles Lee at GoofyFan_Chuck, Shane Pickett at Dadrad4, BCD at SmogDude, Vincent Zawada at VZawada, John Mariano at John Marianani, Ken McDowell at Ken McDowell, Carlos Cortez Jr. at Captain_Levi01, Rob Melius at Darth Aurelius. I like that Darth. Mick C at C_Mick. That's just the tip of the iceberg. We know that there are so many of you. And also, just so that you know, we're sorry that we sometimes miss birthday shout outs. Like, you will tweet us and we'll be like, oh yeah, let me remember that. And then sometimes we tragically forget. And I'm so sorry. So here's a big birthday shout out to the people that we love you.
Happy birthday.
We love that you're celebrating
your birthday.
Birthdays are so important. We love our birthdays and we love yours. So to help us be able to get your birthday shout out next time, if you could use hashtag MMNBirthday, that will help us be able to just search by a hashtag to be able to get your birthday shout outs. So that's Marvel Movie News Birthday, MMN. Great. And then also with questions, we're trying this out. If you could do hashtag MMNQ, as in the letter, with your question, then that might make it easier for us to be able to get those questions on the air and on the show. So we'll see if this works out.
And MMNQ is very similar sounding to Marvel movie Q's, which I like very much because it's a pun on news and Q's. So our first few questions. The first one from Gio is here. Choose a non-mutant to join the MCU's future X-Men cast. He wants to have Korg join the X-Men.
What he says. Yes. He says that Korg would fit right in. Non-mutant. Excellent.
What do you think?
I have my own choice, but it's like, if he's going to have Korg, he also has to have Meek. So I'm going to take his Korg and I'm going to add a Meek onto there. But Meek back in his exoskeleton, like his lethal exoskeleton suit, so then Korg can make his jokes about rock, paper, and scissors, like we do with our Ragnarok. But Amy, how about you start this? What's a non-mutant? And that's pretty open. So I say that we can expand this to anybody.
Yeah.
To join the MCU's future X-Men cast. Or we can make it smaller.
Just future X-Men, steal non-mutant.
Well, you know who's not a mutant?
Who?
Deadpool.
Okay, can I pick?
Oh, I already got him. I just told him. Deadpool.
That's hard. Just anyone?
Yeah. Just anybody in general.
You know who I think needs more screen time?
Joined X-Men.
Maria Hill.
Okay.
I would love to see her leading a team.
I would think that would be an excellent addition to X-Men cast.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to see her. She would definitely fit, you know, with S.H.I.E.L.D. in general. And then you don't have to worry too much about having Nick Fury be a part of everything.
Because he's hiding, he's clandestine.
And Maria.
She's already doing stuff.
She's a good public face, and she's a good leader, and she's strong and smart.
New Mutants. Have her in there.
So Maria Hill's mine, and Deadpool.
I thought you were giving me Maria.
Oh, I mean, Maria Hill is Amy's idea. Yes. What a great idea Amy had.
Thank you. You know, I did
inspired.
I
yes. Okay. Have they confirmed Dazzler for anything?
She's a mutant, though.
Oh, she is a mutant. Darn it. Non-mutant. Because now I was thinking,
your brain is on X-Men.
Yeah, my brain's on X-Men. So I'm like, I'm like picturing like all the Morlocks now. And I'm like,
but they're inherently mutants.
They're inherently mutants.
They just got the ugly side of the deal, unfortunately. Who else is a non-mutant?
So, super non-mutant. Oh, could Daryl join?
See, Daryl is
in there. I'm not only going non-mutant, I'm going non-powered.
Completely non-powered.
Completely non-powered. I don't even know how that would work out. It's like he shows up to fix the computer system in the mansion while everybody else is away because Deadpool's in there and they don't want to bother with him.
I respect that choice. There
so,
it is.
Yeah.
Plot. Makes sense.
So Daryl could. Mm-hmm.
So in between the fan questions, I am going to think of questions to ask these two lovelies. And first, my first question, so the people that watch our show might have an idea of where comics began your life. So my question is a two-parter. Part one is, where did comics first enter your life? And two, when did you know that they're going to be as important as they are?
Well, I can answer the second one first.
Okay.
It wasn't an aha moment for me for like comics being as, because they were literally like woven into the fabric of my being.
Mm-hmm.
That and video games and wrestling, they all hit me at the same time. That horror movies also. Oh, Ant-Manthony, yeah, I'm a horror movie fan. I don't know if we've really talked about that.
Who is Ant-Manthony?
Oh, I'm sorry. Kang.
Yes.
Kang's method.
Yes. Kang enjoys the horrifying pictures.
Yeah, for some reason I thought Kang would. All of that kind of hit me at the same time. It was like 7, 8 years old. So that literally was normal. This is normal for me. So I mean, I guess if there was any kind of aha moment, it was a few years ago when I realized that my wrestling passion was a commodity, and that, you know, me being able to talk about it and to be impassioned about it was something that I could start turning into like a career-like thing. And then
then it was like, oh yeah, yeah, wrestling. I also really love comics. Like, you love comics? Well, you know, and be like, oh, okay, well, along with that, you know, video games. What, you like video games? I'm like, yeah, yeah. So I guess the aha moment would have had to been like, what, maybe 2015 or so?
Okay.
When it was just like, yeah, you can do all the stuff that you love and be a host with it. And then, you know, this year, bye-bye day job, now just this, and it's working.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess my aha was in 2015, but it's always been there.
Cool. Mm. Amy, what was your aha?
I would have to say more recently, maybe the beginning of 2018.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because, well, and jumping to your first question, the first time that I really ever read a comic or knew anything about a comic was 2015. Yeah, so I'm a nerd in training. But, yeah, with Spider-Man. With Spider-Man, mm-hmm. And just to see, there's, because I'm from Texas, so there's this comic book store that's, I don't even remember what it's called, but if you live in San Antonio, then you probably know which one I'm talking about, because it's really big, and people play really fun card games, and so I went in there a few times, and I'd always go to, like, the cool, like, shirts, you know, like, fun little toys, Funko Pops, and stuff like that, and so seeing all of the comics, it was like, I mean, obviously I've known about comics, but to really, like, flip through all of the stacks of mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. and to see that there's so many, especially with Spider-Man, like, you could just get lost.
Oh, I have.
Do you see?
Yeah, it's just a fun deep dive.
It is. And, but yeah, like, first diving into comics was Ms. Marvel, and it was just a little bit, mm-hmm. but I was like, this is crazy. It's way, obviously, way different than reading a normal kind of book, because I used to love reading as a kid, and then something happened along the way that it just became a chore.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So getting back into reading, I was able to do that with comics, because, exactly. And even, you know, when I started here, reading Infinity Gauntlet, that, and I was like, okay, so then that's when everything really clicked. I was like, wow, we can just, like, talk about comics and nerd out. What are you saying? Okay, let's do this. And to really embrace being a geek, even if you don't know everything, that's something that was just like, oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
So yeah. And where did you first? I know it was through military and finding them on base. Yeah, since we're two-parting it.
Yeah. Those that don't know or, like, missed the couple of broadcasts I said that in, I was a military kid. So from around 7 years away. Well, before that, we were moving around a lot. But I lived in London from, like, 7 to around 11 and a half years of age. And then that was, like, predominantly all the comics, all the horror movies, all the video games, everything that happened then. So, I'm sorry, what was the question?
Where did you first pick up, like, comics as a habit? Because part two is, when did you realize what it would be? Part one is,
when did you pick it up? It had to be because we lived off base. And for those that aren't aware of, like, military kids and how they, there's an actual thing called, like, I believe it's called Third Culture or something like that. It's on the internet. Other people have pointed me towards it, and there's, like, a whole documentary and stuff about it. It's like you live in America, but you don't. It's America exists on the base, and then outside of the base is you're in another country completely. And it's like whatever the military has sanctioned to be at that base is what you will then what you buy, what you consume, in every way, shape, or the form, including movies that would go to the movie theater and such. So therefore, my comic books started off with Archie, because Archie was, you know, deemed okay. And then mm-hmm. there was Marvel and DC. So it wasn't until after we came back to America that I realized that there were all these other comic books, like all these indies things that I had no idea about. So kind of gorged myself until we then had to, and I ended up living in Iceland for like another 2 years. So yeah, I didn't realize that there were even indie comics until like I hit, oh God, maybe 13 or 14.
Wow.
I didn't know. as far as I knew, it was just Marvel and DC. Marvel, DC, and Archie.
Yeah, that's you know? Funny, because that was your exposure.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, really happy to, and still catching up. There's always something that somebody's like, oh yeah, Bloodsport. I'm like, what's that? Let me read that.
Wait till you get to the 90s Extreme Comics and the crazy Liefeld experience, because that's coming. That's around the corner. So, for me, I discovered comics because my dad was super into them. My second birthday, there's a picture of me with Spider-Man number 3 behind me, which is that Torment cover, Todd McFarlane, and that is the October issue. My birthday's in September, which means that comic had just came out, like, that day, probably. So I've been reading comics since before I could read, and then I've been reading them ever since. So for my second birthday, I got Spider-Man comics. So it's been in my blood since I could remember. And my dad collected comics, so he had long boxes under the bed. So I would break into under my dad's bed and, like, pilfer through his long boxes and, like, take the X-Men and take those. Like the Claremont and Byrne era, so some like beautiful books. And I remember there was an Amazing Spider-Man that had a photo cover on it, and it was an actual actor dressed as Spider-Man. I think it was like 263, something in that range. And I was like, you can do this? And that blew my mind, because I was like 4. So I've been reading comics or stealing from my dad. Thank you, Dad. And he gave me a lot of them since, so they're not as stolen. But I've been reading or doing comics since I could operate my fingers. And I really just, I've always loved the moral compass. I've always loved that it's art and illustration. Illustration and writing. I always loved that people give comics crap, especially in the 90s, that they were this childish thing, but it's combining literature and art, which you may realize are two very adult things. Like, it's just
graphic,
it's silly
novels.
Yeah, like it's such a thing. So that for me was that, and then I realized it was a life choice and it could be a career. Actually, Screen Junkies. Screen Junkies called me in to do Please Explain Deadpool. And believe it or not, there was a time not that long ago that people didn't know Deadpool. So
about our Please Explain Luke Cage?
Yeah,
it blew my mind that people didn't know who Luke Cage was.
Right. Yeah. And recently.
Yeah, so, no, that was recent. That was only what, 2 years ago that we did that?
So I did Deadpool 3-ish years ago, and like now you can't walk through a mall without seeing a Deadpool shirt. Now you can't say the word Deadpool. Grandma's in Idaho, no. Yeah.
Do you know how excited I am that my family now knows who Luke Cage is?
It's amazing.
Who, you know, Black Lightning is and Black Panther.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's... And they come to me for, like, the information. And it's just like, oh, this is the stuff that you've been talking about.
Right.
So where's Storm? I'm like, well, don't get me started.
And that's the best feeling in the world. Like, to have that knowledge and to have that exposure. And now the world's with you. And I love Idaho, by the way. I was just picking a state. But, like, just random people, like, know all these things and the nuance. And so it was someone asking me my opinion of something. And there's no better feeling in the world than going, like, let me share this thing I love with you.
Absolutely.
Audience. People. Sharing. Community. Yeah. That's why we're going to Burning Man.
No gatekeeping. There's no point to it. It doesn't. It actually makes you seem smaller and makes you smaller in the world if you try to tell somebody else, oh, hey, you don't know as much about as this subject as I do. Well, you don't know anything. Mm-hmm. It's like that doesn't help anybody. Mm-hmm. And then plus, you also cut off probably a really good friend.
Yeah.
You know, like a really good nerd friend. Like they might know all the things about, I don't know, bowling. Maybe they're a bowler and you really suck at bowling. I'm just spiraling out here. And then it's like, they'd be your bowling buddy
right.
or something like that.
Yeah,
but because
like,
they
share
don't,
the things you love.
Yeah, but because they don't know everything about random non-mutant. No, don't say non-mutant.
Miracle children.
Yeah, they don't know everything about New Mutants, or they don't know everything about X-Men. They have no idea what X-Men is. They feel like X-Men should be in Spider-Man and all this other stuff. Like, why doesn't Sony have the X-Men? They're saying stuff like that, and it's like, so they don't, or they're like, why isn't Batman and Spider-Man hanging out? They don't know, so it's fine. Don't gatekeep. Just be like, cool, you're interested in this?
Yeah.
Let me tell you why it would be so cool to have Batman and Spider-Man together in something.
And it has happened in the comics. And speaking of, but not in movies yet, one day.
One day.
When Disney buys everything. Speaking of being a fan of comics, Ashley Houchins asks, should Kronos appear in Avengers 4, and who's your choice to play him?
Oh, okay. Kronos, one of the Titans Eternals, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who'd make a good Kronos? Lords, somebody.
I'm trying to picture Kronos. I'm straight up googling the image of Kronos because I think of him as being so abstract.
He showed up in Infinity Gauntlet. He's
that's
one of
right.
he's
I
one
know.
Of the,
like,
but
the
it's literally,
cadre.
He's literally an abstract.
Like
when
Eternity shows up and all like that. He's one of the dudes that shows
up.
He's purple in stars, so that's why I had to look him up, because that to me is like.
So if you see for this, I believe he's a back left.
Keith David.
The purple little one. Jim Starlin made Kronos. I know that.
Keith David's my choice.
Keith David?
Keith David would be an awesome Kronos. Because he's going to be CGI. He's purple and stars.
Oh, he would be cool.
Right?
Gosh.
The voice of Keith David. That's my pick.
Oh, okay. So it's not, we're not.
I mean, someone could physically Thanos-ing, pay him, but like.
Thanos-ing it. We're total CGI, just the voice.
I think so. Because he's an abstract. He's a concept, almost.
Well, he's like father of what are those two? Comics are a heck of a drug.
Eternals,
yeah, and then you know Titan in general. You know, this is kind of hard for me to choose. Kind of hard for me to choose a Kronos. I'm gonna go with what's his name? He is the original Darth Vader voice.
James Earl Jones?
James Earl Jones. I'm going to go with James Earl Jones for Kronos because I think I would love for his voice to be in the MCU and the resonance that would come with a James Earl Jones type. I feel like Kronos. Yeah, that's who I'm going with.
Amy, you want to pull a mulligan? You got an idea.
Don't hate me, but who was the voice of Scar?
Oh, from Lion King?
Uh-huh.
It was Alfred in the newest Batman. What is his name? He's brilliant. I love that actor. Why can't I think of his name?
It wasn't Whoopi Goldberg. It wasn't Jonathan Taylor Thomas. It wasn't...
Yeah, the rest of the cast.
I know.
He's an Academy Award winning actor. He's brilliant. I love his...
It wasn't Alan Rickman.
Jeremy Irons!
Him!
Yeah, he's great. Sold.
Excellent. Done.
All right, so now we had a fan question. Now back to a Koi question. Why... is your favorite character in less than a minute?
Oh!
Do we have a timer?
Let me get a timer going.
I mean, while we're having this random show, let's play into it. You can do top two characters if it's only a minute each. So top that way you don't have to pick your favorite if you love two characters equally.
Okay.
So top two characters, a minute each.
And then I have a question. Who is the character that actually got you into comics but isn't necessarily your favorite now?
Ooh!
Guys, like whoa, okay.
So let's do the two, and then we'll cycle back with yours.
Okay, so wait, what was ours again?
Top two favorite characters, a minute each. So we'll do separate. Characters. So think of your top two characters, and then a minute, and then we'll take a pause another minute.
Mm-hmm.
Speed round style.
I know.
Timer up. Just all
right.
Go.
Okay. Amy,
no,
go first.
Dang, okay. Okay.
In three, two, one.
My favorite character is Spider-Man. Why? Because I feel like I really identify with Spider-Man. He lost his Uncle Ben, and having grown up as someone that, I lost my mom at 19. So having to deal with that, I feel like puts you in the same kind of headspace as Spider-Man. And when he's having to do stuff, he really just wants to help people out. And I totally understand that. I think he's silly, which I can identify with as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think he's just cool, and he gets himself into situations that's a little bit over his head, but he wants the best and he keeps working hard, and his costumes are really cool. And there are so many different versions of Spider-Man that I think no matter which one, there's always going to be that one that you're like, okay, I identify with that one. And yeah, it's really nice that we're getting to really see a new Spider-Man with Tom Holland, and I think he's fantastic and he's super cool, and I'm really excited about Far From Home.
That was an excellent minute. That was beautiful. See, a minute's a long time.
I know. I was like,
it feels like no time, but it's a long time. All right. Ooh,
was I going to get music? Thank you.
We're going to get Oscar'd out, played off stage.
I think,
I want to check this out.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Toby?
I don't like Toby. We talked about this on Marvel TV Weekly.
You got Tobied.
I got Tobied. It's Marquette, fine.
Marquette, your favorite?
Sure. Wait for him to put the...
Are we ready with the minute back in the clock?
The minute back on. I'm going to restrict it to Marvel because if I go into indie stuff with favorites, it's just it's a whole lot of...
Two.
Well, I think you have 1 second.
There's only 1 second.
That's it.
It's not challenge her to that level.
Kang is never wrong.
Kang?
In three.
She just did Black Panther.
Two. One.
Okay, so I'm going to choose both Storm and Black Panther. Storm because, if you've only seen her in the movies, you really do have to experience her in the comics. She comes from basically nothing. She's a street urchin, like a street rat, with all of these incredible powers, but yet she also does for others in an amazing way. And it's just like her journey from child into, leader of the X-Men and just a weather queen in general is something to be awe-inspired about. Okay, that's halfway. And then Black Panther, just for the very fact, like, his morality is what really got me to him. That and his, the fact that he is a Batman, but he's a Batman with a community and that he embraces that. That isn't anything that he has to cut away or, like, I'm not dissing Bruce Wayne, but, you know, dude has issues. While Black Panther, like, embraces family, it does not slow him down. And then couple both of them together, which they have in the comics, you have this amazing power couple, and I hope to see them again.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent work. I liked it a lot.
Thank you.
I got to defend my two boys, and then I love your question. We got to dive into that. So, all
right, here we go.
1 minute for Spider-Man Deadpool.
Here we go.
So, Spider-Man represents not just power and responsibility, but he represents, like, actually having ramifications for your actions. When Gwen Stacy died, we all felt it as an audience. It ended the Silver Age of comics. All of his costumes, I agree, are on point, but also his rogues gallery. You are the company you keep. His rogues have to get more inventive, have to be more intelligent, have to get more smart because of how smart he is. As he evolves as a character, so do his friends, so do his rogues, so does everything else. Spider-Man, to me, represents everything it is to be a human. He also has humor as well as depth, and there's so much to Spider-Man that we never get to see, and there's a reason Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, and Tom Holland can all play him because he's so multifaceted. Those three very different actors can play him. Spider-Man's damn near perfect. Deadpool, on the other hand, Deadpool is a character that is always trying to figure out what his moral compass is. Deadpool is a character that's always trying to figure out what right and wrong are to him. He hides his humility with humor. He hides his sadness with humor. He hides his face with a mask. He doesn't hide his identity. He hides his sorrow. Deadpool is ashamed of the thing he's become, and he's always trying to do what's right, and he's always doing that with a smile on his face, even if he shouldn't have one. And he introduced me to chimichangas.
Excellent.
Kang is impressed.
Woo! I saw 2 seconds left and I was like, chimichangas! Okay, so your question in the right phrasing. I love your question.
Yes. So what character got you into comics but is not necessarily your favorite character now?
Can I do it with movies? Like the first one?
Sure.
Okay.
Got a minute?
Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah, but we'll keep it short. Okay, but cool. Yeah. I mean, I could start since this is my question, but you have it?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right.
I would say it was Captain America. Because the first real Marvel movie that I saw was Avengers when it came out in 2012. And before then, I had tried watching Iron Man, but young Amy just wasn't ready. We watched it in school, and I was just kind of like, that's cool. But then I ended up doing something else. But I love Captain America, but I feel like there are other characters that I identify with more. And I think I like characters that have issues going on. And I think he does too, but he's almost like too perfect, which it's cool. And I support him. And especially with Civil War, all of that going on, I was still on his side. But I think, although if I would see it again now, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it was cool. I think it was a great introduction because he's like a superhero-y as you get.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like getting older and seeing that we're all kind of screwed up in our own way. I like the
humanity in your characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Markia?
Excellent. It has to be Monica Rambeau. Captain Marvel was called Monica Rambeau. Captain Marvel has been different people. Captain Marvel and then so on and so forth. And Monica Rambeau has been different people too. Right now she's known as Spectrum. And with her, some of her backstory, well, she's absolutely amazing. Comics. There's so much to say. Okay. So she starts off as think of like a harbor cop. Think of like that in like New Orleans. I believe it started in New Orleans. And she ends up doing as heroes do and then ended up getting powers while she was trying to save others. And it's like the spectrum of light and everything in between. There's a lot going on with what she can actually do. The thing that attracted me to it was, yes, black female. And that was before then. I didn't run into that. I mean, think about it. I started off with Archie, and then just Marvel and DC in general, it was pretty light. I didn't see myself in them. And then Monica Rambeau came along, and I think I actually borrowed that from somebody. There's a lot of swapping with when it comes to military kids. Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I was stationed in Germany, and I got these. Yeah. And like, you know, that kind of a thing. So, yeah, I forget exactly how I ran into her, but once I did, and then seeing her power set and seeing she was so powerful and seeing her hair, oh, just seeing her hair being represented. And then after that, I think I ran into Luke Cage mm-hmm. and Misty Knight and, mm-hmm. and the such after that. But yeah, Monica was my bae because no matter the situation, she not only was able to confront it with grace, no matter how tough it was, but she was tough. And, you know, she believed in family and community, and that means so much to me. So, yeah, she's great not answer. Necessarily my favorite character right now because mm-hmm. we've had so much time and so many characters in between, but she definitely got me started.
So I love the same characters I did since I was a kid. I've collected Spider-Man and X-Men since I was 4. I got comics before then, but I started collecting actively, like spending my money and all my Christmas and birthday money on Spider-Man and X-Men since I was 4. That's where my money goes. But I used to be a diehard Superboy and Green Lantern Kyle Rayner fan. So Superboy I loved because Superman never made sense to me because Superman was just like, I am just power and I have no weakness. And I was like, I don't, like, what do I do? If I read the beginning and the end, it's the same thing. I understand now. I see Superman now as his biggest folly is that he can't take care of everything and he has to make decisions and he has to deal with, like, the ultimate power. But as a kid, you can't go, like, what's it like to hear two cries for help and not know to pick which one? Like, you don't think about that as a kid. But yeah. Superboy is, like, he's got a leather jacket. He's living in Hawaii with that gorgeous redhead. He's, and like, apparently I've had a thing for redhead since I was born because Mary Jane and that redhead chick in the Hawaii stuff and Superboy. But Superboy was like the rebel without a cause Superman. And he had like the one curl and I was like, this guy. And then Kyle Rayner came out and he did a similar thing where he was the underdog to Hal Jordan. He was the guy trying to prove he was worth being Green Lantern. He was the guy trying to use art to make things. He was a man that used creativity as strength. And as a kid, I was like, oh, he's not as military and proud and strong, but he's creative and he used art as a weapon. And I love the idea of using art as a weapon. So I don't read as much Superboy or Kyle Rayner now, mm-hmm. but I love those characters. I still love what they represent. I still love the flavor. So I love that question because these are two characters you don't get to talk about much. And like right? the past is so relevant to the present. Yeah. Like this episode.
Yeah, yes. Like this time capsule. And time being run by Kang.
So two more questions here. And then I have one more question on my end. And then if you have any, and then we'll wrap it up because
yeah.
All right, cool. So two more fan questions. So word is Moon Knight was almost used in Iron Fist season 2. Are we that close to seeing our favorite deranged hero in action, or is this just more teasing? I personally think we're getting him. I think that movie deals are either going to happen sooner than later, or when they bring us over to the Disney streaming. Everyone wants Moon Knight so bad. What a better flagship show to prove it can be dark, Disney can be trusted with the streaming service, and they've been listening than Moon Knight. I would love to see Moon Knight on the Disney streaming service. What do you guys think?
Yes. Agree. I think it would be a nice jumping off point for the Disney streaming service. And that would be a great way to grab everyone's attention and be like, hey, we listen.
We read your threads.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that would for sure make me want to subscribe and do all of that.
And they're not going to invest in a new great character in Netflix if they're leaving Netflix. That's my thought.
Yeah.
That's probably why he's not in season 2. What do you think?
Possibly. I think that would be a pretty strong flagship if you did a PG-13 Moon Knight mm-hmm. and had that with Disney. I think it's definitely doable. Whenever I pictured my Moon Knight, though, I like pictured him like Punisher level.
Well, I think they can do a Punisher show. I think they might to prove they're not going to be like Deadpool's going to stay rated R. I think they need to have a show that's like Punisher on their stream to show.
It's such a it's so not Disney though.
Right.
It's so not Disney, and Disney is such a brand. Like you hear Disney, you know what you can expect. Like you can take any of your kids to see a Disney movie.
Right.
Like that kind of a thing. While you wouldn't necessarily have your kids watch certain things on Netflix.
I'm not hoping they have a Miramax channel, like a brand. You know, I'm hoping they have that side Disney. This is my pure optimism, but I see what you're saying.
But yeah, coming back to are we that close to seeing a Moon Knight? Yeah, I think there's been enough outcry for a Moon Knight. I mean, there could always be more if we want it to happen. And I think there's enough nerds that are involved in the process that they are very aware of Mark Spector. And I think his story would translate extremely well into television. Mm-hmm. I would enjoy that because the thing with Moon Knight is I feel like you could almost make it look like an anthology series, kind of like Black Mirror-esque.
Yeah.
You could do that with Moon Knight. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even have to be in all of the episodes. He could be like in, well, most of them, definitely. But you can have like 2-3 episodes where it's just taking place just outside of what Moon Knight is doing. Like Moon Knight's down in the sewers. Here's the people, or the people are down in the sewers, and Moon Knight's, you know, ducking in and out. I think it's a great property, and I say yes, but I want it on Netflix more than I want it on Disney.
Yeah, I want it to be the right gritty, and that's why my optimism is that there'll be a wall where kids won't press 18 plus, and there'll be other things on the other side of that wall, because kids never lie on the internet. Nope. Lewis,
we never did.
Not even once.
Never!
Lewis1022. Oh, and that last question was Wes Sager. Thank you, at Wes Sager.
Yeah, thanks, Wes.
This question is at Lewis1022, asks all of us individually, when will there be a Nova movie? I would love a Nova movie. Hashtag Marvel movie new smiley face. We have no control over the Nova movie. Mm. I will say that it does make sense after Guardians 3 to get a Nova movie. So I do think I will not be surprised if Phase 4 features Nova for many, many reasons. Personally, I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised if Nova is a part of Guardians of Galaxy 3. And I think that is how we will be getting our Nova movie. Part of that.
Very soon.
Yes.
Amy?
I mean, I feel like Marvel's kind of slowing down and trying to take their time and make sure their movies are good. Thank you. But yeah, I mean, I would say within the next few years for sure. Yeah. Mm. And especially if there's more people that want it, because I haven't heard many people say they want it.
The ones that do are ride or die, though. They're loud. The ones that want it, they're like very... So I have one last question, but you haven't asked them yet. Is there any question you'd want to ask us in this very special Ask a Co-host show?
Yes.
And
then remind me, I want to do the hashtags again at the end.
Perfect.
So people know.
Excellent.
For people that have never read comics, what's the first one or first character that you'd like to introduce them with?
Okay.
You want to go first or you want to take it?
Well, hearing that, it makes me think of like what I would recommend for like a non-gamer. Like I would recommend a Nintendo Switch for a non-gamer that also wasn't into mobile games. Because it is so accessible. And not only that, but you just start playing that and you can talk to gamers on all levels with it. So for comics, I guess, you know, Koi, do you have a answer right now, this second? Okay, you go ahead.
Okay, so in the world of Marvel, if you've been watching the MCU films, if you enjoy the hijinks of the MCU, Ultimate Spider-Man is the thing that redefined comics in the year 2000. Ultimate Spider-Man came out, and a lot of what the MCU is based off of is the Ultimate line. Ultimate Spider-Man started the Ultimate line. Ultimate Spider-Man does an amazing thing that many people have replicated since, but this did the best at the time, was it consolidated 60 years of continuity into like 10, and it had the same creative team of Bendis and Bagley for the longest run to date. It is a beautiful run. It's incredible. The art is great. The animation's great. And what it does is it summarizes lots of comic arcs into tiny little bite-sized stuff. So say you've read 50 years of comics and there's these 5 great storylines, it'll only use those 5. There's no filler. There's no, like, especially in the beginning. So if you love the origin story, it retells it for the modern day. If you love the Shocker, it makes it modern. If you love Venom, it makes it more modern. There's a completely different Venom origin, but it works for the Ultimate Spider-Man. It's not the same as the regular Spider-Man. So Ultimate Spider-Man is the most accessible thing in the world because it literally gives you everything from point A to point B, and it ties into the MCU in a way of a tone. And then if you like Batman, Tom King's Batman is only 53 issues in. It started about 5 years ago. Tom King's Batman is maybe 3 years ago. I don't know if they're double or single. But Tom King's Batman is literally like now that's what I call music of Batman. It feels like the greatest hits. There's so many fun, like punchy dialogue.
I do enjoy that.
It's just so Hush lively. And it's but it has to get to kind of like know the world a little better.
Yeah.
Whereas Tom King's Batman, you can read issue 1 and never have read Batman, you can dive in. So Batman issue 1, starting with Tom King, I think it was four or 5 years ago. It literally is called Batman 1 because Tom King took over. And then Ultimate Spider-Man from 1. Any of those runs all the way through are perfect.
Wow. I keep on thinking like 90s X-Men, like maybe, I don't know, Uncanny, I don't know. I'm just going to say 90s X-Men in general.
Well, the X-Men number 1 that started in 1990 with Jim Lee in the art was a great jump off point because it was another team.
Yeah, I'm not the person to give you definite issues or issue numbers. I do more, whenever I read, I do more like thematically, like kind of a thing where it's like, for instance, what I'm reading right now is like, I want to do more indie comics and everything like that. So then I looked up things that were close to what I was already reading and then started reading off like that. But for 90s era X-Men...
Mm-hmm. Jim Lee is this beautiful run.
Yeah, because I remember reading that, and I did a reread like maybe two and a half years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it still held up for me. So I thought it was extremely accessible, and not only that, you really get to know more in depth the characters that you think that you know. Like you think you know Cyclops, you think that you know Jean Grey and the such, and then it's like, right, there's all these different layers to each other. And I think it's not complicated, but it does lead the way to being complicated. So I think if you start something like that, it's kind of like starting with the Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. You will, just by the simple fact that you were reading it, be able to start talking with people on nerds of all levels.
So the comic she's talking about is X-Men that started with Jim Lee. The cover is all of the X-Men on the left side of the comic, and they're fighting Magneto on the right side. There were five alternate covers. That is the main cover you're going to get, and it goes into Omega Red. It goes into some great Wolverine stuff. It is a very powerful, good run. I have one last question, and I want Ant-Man in on it too, and it's very brief, and it's a tricky one, though. What character in the MCU, so the Marvel movies, do you identify with most and why?
Kang,
can you hear us?
Kang did not know he was first. I would say circle back, please.
Okay. Kang needs a moment in time.
Yes.
I can go. It was my question, so I can go first if that helps.
Yeah, go ahead and go first.
Okay, so the MCU I recently rewatched for Infinity War, and I was really curious if my opinions had changed. I had a very interesting thing where I always thought I was Captain America, but I really realized this rewatch that I am Iron Man. Like, I had no idea, and it was really interesting.
I can see that.
It was interesting watching Civil War, because I'm like, noble and just. I was watching the Iron Man movies, I was like, oh, I love myself, and I'm snarky, and I do what's right when it works, and then I do what's right again, but it takes some pressure, mm-hmm. and I'm such an Iron Man. It didn't hit me until after I'd revisited the movies that Tony Stark's snark, he's still a good person. Like, I think I'm still a good person, but I definitely have, like, an outer layer of, like, sass. So I really enjoyed Iron Man's love of himself, and that made me realize that I'm more Iron Man than Cap.
Seems like it's like an in-depth question, though. It's something that you have to, like, think about to know thyself and then to put
it's a good psychological study,
into,
right? Yeah.
Into someone else's shoes. Maybe can you say what we rewind you? Yes.
Koi fan casting his friends.
Yeah, it's like what
all right.
MCU character we're more like.
I would say...
And that gives Kang more time and us.
Yeah, while you guys are pondering introspectively, I would say that Kang... reminds me of a Ant-Man type, not just because of the name, but because he uses humor in difficult situations to get through them, and while he's dealing with stuff, there's always like a bit of levity. He also like is attentive to things, and he learns things that he doesn't know. Like when he came on as producer, he knows a lot more now than he used to, so he focused on stuff and became an expert at it by necessity while keeping things light as he needed to.
Kang agrees.
Amy, mm-hmm. I would say you are... Okay, so this is tricky because it's not MCU, but a Wasp from the comics. Okay. You remind me of the new Wasp from the comics because she is mm-hmm. Ant-Man's daughter, Hank Pym's daughter, that he didn't know he had. Mm-hmm. And she grew up like on her own and had to figure out how to put the world together. And she likes to assemble people. She likes to put people together. She likes to connect people. So she likes to gather people from all over the place and make them a stronger community by putting them in the same place. So she grew up having to put her life together. And now she puts other people's lives together with science, with intelligence, with growth, and makes that a thing. So that would be,
that's cool.
That's my full MC, not MCU, but yeah. Marvel cast. And Markia, I gotta say Shuri. And I know it seems cliche, but like you use humor while calming people down, and she uses it with sass like you do, but mm-hmm. it's always for the purpose of like landing a thought. Like it's not to deflect, it's to focus. And a lot of people use humor to deflect. Like I use humor to deflect, like Deadpool use humor to deflect. I think that you use humor to like bring people into the situation as opposed to distract them from the situation, which I can't think. I was trying to think of another character besides Shuri in the MCU that does that, but I think she does it that way. Like Downey Jr. uses humor to be like, look, shiny object. Whereas mm-hmm. Shuri uses humor to be like, this is why I'm thinking this thing. So it is a focused humor and attentiveness to detail.
I like it. I was trying to think, and I was like, the closest I could think of for myself was a Mantis meets Nick Fury.
Oh my god!
You know?
Oh, that's amazing.
Where it's like, yeah, I love seeing the positive side of things, and I'm very much into people's emotions and like what they're doing and everything like that. But also pretty no nonsense and like straightforward with things, where it's like, hey, this has to get done. Let's figure out how this is going to get done, because we're going to really enjoy once it's finally done.
I love that.
You know,
that's a similar answer, but with two totally different characters.
Exactly.
That's really funny.
Exactly. So yeah, that's the closest I could come to myself.
While she ponders, what do you guys? Where do you put me? Since I picked.
Tony Stark was pretty much on the nose.
I know.
If that's the answer, I don't have to self-psychoanalyze further.
Yeah, no, that was pretty on the nose. Because then now I'm in the mindset of, like, mixing characters.
Right, that's interesting.
Because then I was thinking, like, maybe a little bit of Loki, but not.
Ooh.
You know, where it's just like a... because you're fun,
mm-hmm.
and you're kind of fun in that Loki way, but not Weasley.
Right.
So it's like, it would be Loki-ness like with Loki something Stark. Else. Yeah, but no, Stark nails it.
Take it. Amy, did you get yours?
Yeah, it's a mix, I would say. Mantis, for sure. I didn't even think about her, but for sure, Mantis. I went to the pet store yesterday, and there was this very adorable cat, and her eyes looked really sad, and I started bawling my eyes out in the pet store, and I was like, okay, yes, I know, I have a lot of feelings, like Mean Girls, you know, so definitely Mantis, and I would say maybe Black Widow, I would say, because I'm a Gemini, and so people sometimes think that I'm, like, super sweet, which I can be, but there's a very... not sassy part, but yeah, sassy part.
But a seriousness.
Serious, sassy, I can kick butt if I really need to.
Maybe a Loki Clint Barton.
Ooh, I love me
maybe,
some Hawkeye.
Maybe that.
I like that.
Family is important, but it's also like, family's important, but you're also important, like in the Tony Stark way.
Yeah.
So the Loki part is the you're important, and then the Clint Barton part is your family's important.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love all of this. Yes. Kang, you are out of... time.
So Kang just summoned me here. It's M. Anthony.
Anthony.
He really wanted me to answer this question, so he pulled
me out. Kind of him.
Yeah, I'm actually naked right now. But anyway, I was in the shower. I don't know. But I would say I was really thinking about this very hard, and I have to say a mix between Captain America and Rocket Raccoon. So Captain
Rocket.
Yeah, Rocket. Mainly because I like being a leader in certain situations, and I feel like my leadership is pretty on point because of how trusting I can be and how I think in a weird dorky sort of way I'm charming and that people are able to like listen to me. But at the same time, I also with Rocket, I deal with this whole existential dread of like, you know, I'm here on this earth and what is my purpose, and also, you know, we all go through pain, just like how Rocket has gone through pain of being made into, mm-hmm. like, from being a just, like, a normal, like, Earth critter to, like, this galactic entity that's rolling around with the Guardians, if that makes sense.
It's a great answer, man. Hey. And when you came to us, you weren't even that much of a comic guy. Now look where you are.
I'm reading stuff.
Such a different answer.
We heart trash pandas.
So, Mary Marvelites, while we're on that page, send us your thoughts as to who we are.
Please,
so,
yes.
You guys love koi casting. I'm asking you to koi cast us. I would like to know who you think we are, who we are a mix of, who you think you are. This is a very fun game that
and
I accidentally
why?
Just came together
it's
with.
Amazing.
And
why?
Like, this is
Let
really
us know
cool.
why.
Yeah, the whys are as important as the answers. So please send us your thoughts on all four of us. And in the meantime, what are those hashtags?
The hashtags.
Sorry, you said to remind you. I got you.
Yeah, no, this is great. I was like programmed to be like, here's my handle. Okay, so the hashtag for if you want us to do a birthday shout out, please do hashtag MMN birthday. That's Marvel Movie News birthday. And if you want to send us a question, do hashtag MMNQ, which is Marvel Movie News Q.
And send
the
us
letter,
hashtag KoiCast for the game we just played so we can put things together so we can find
it. Or MMNcast?
MMNcast. Absolutely. MMNQ is question, MMN birthday, and MMNcast will be. So hashtag MMNcast, and that'll set us up. Perfect.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we'll have those going. And once again, if you are not a normal viewer of this show, this has been a very irregular episode. We've never done an episode like this. We are in the past. You're watching this on the 28th. We are currently living on the 14th. We could not do it any sooner, so we pre-taped. So if you guys didn't like this episode, don't think that's the regular. If you love this episode, tell us and we might do more. But yeah, in the meantime...
Like additional.
Yeah.
Like an additional thing.
An extra thing. So yeah. I had fun. Did you guys have fun in this very special episode?
Yeah, it was
perfect.
Fun.
So if you liked it, let us know. And if you didn't, then I'm sorry. And where can they find you guys on the internet?
You can find me at Markia McCarty on Twitter and Instagram. That's MarkiaMccarty.
You guys can find me on social media at Amy Cassandra, MTZ, or Ints.
And you can find me at CoyJandreau, Coy Jandro, here and on Instagram and on Twitter. And I will see you guys after Ireland and after Markia gets back from Burning Man. And Amy's around to take your questions.
Yes.
Much love, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.